This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
And good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio. Unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's 7:06 on this Wednesday, December 11th. Nice to have you along. Coming up in this hour, we will talk to somebody who basically wrote the book on being a school board candidate in Wisconsin. He's with the Wisconsin Association of School Boards, and that's part of today's homeroom segment, talking about the upcoming school board elections. There's still time for you to decide to make a run for your local school board. They need you more than ever, and we'd love to tell you more about it, so stick around later this hour. Todd Albo will be joining us as well. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is standing by as well. But first, it's time for the Civic Media Grown-Up Gift List Text to Win contest. To be part of it, you have to download the Civic Media app. Head over to civicmedia.us to learn more. Find one of the stations that's running Up North News Radio. Use the text button at the bottom of your screen to send in this hour's keyword for your chance to win in this statewide contest. And the keyword for this hour is bells, as in jingle bells, B-E-L-L-S, bells. And the one entry from this hour will be picked to win a prize of an overnight getaway to Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. And be in the running for all kinds of great grand prizes off the grown-up gift list. The prizes include a snowblower, a luggage set, espresso machine, humidifier, a robot vacuum. So enter several times throughout the course of the day. Your next chance to win is at 11 a.m. with Matt and Air on Air. They'll have a different word. The keyword for this hour to text in is bells, B-E-L-L-S, as in the jingly kind for the season that it's in. There is no doubt what season we're in when you see what's going to happen to the thermometer here. It's basically going to fall off the wall into the basement where the temperatures are going. Temperatures are in the 20s, a few teens out there right now. It's 20 here in Chippewa Falls, but Brittany Merlot is here to tell us, just wait till tonight.
Oh, seriously. So we're already looking at this cold front making its way into western portions of the state this morning. Amory picking up an inch of snowfall. Northwoods, South Shore, you're looking at about 2 to 5 inches of snow as we go through this afternoon. And the rest of the state, anywhere from a trace to about a half an inch is possible. Some areas could get closer to 1 inch today, but scattered snow showers on and off. But the bigger thing that you're really going to notice and you're really going to feel, like Pat said, are those temperatures crashing. These are our highs right now, so it doesn't feel too bad this morning, but it's only getting worse from here. In fact, central Wisconsin will be in the single digits by 5 p.m., and we're looking at single digits on the east side of the state shortly after. So we are crashing cold, sub-zero, whereby tomorrow morning we're going to be feeling wind chills anywhere from 10 to 20 below. So it's going to be some of the coldest air that we've seen so far this season, and of course it's accompanied with some gusty winds. They'll be whipping up to 30 to 40 miles per hour. So that's why these frigid wind chills are in place. And highs tomorrow, we're not going anywhere. We're going to stay in the single digits. Areas way south try to get to some double digits near 10 to 11 degrees, but winds are still moving, so it's going to feel closer to zero or sub-zero. The good news, some sunshine tomorrow after a little bit of snow today. But be careful with those winds, because as it's snowing and it's blowing, it's going to reduce visibility.
And I'm also worried about people's vocal cords, because they're going to get outside and they're going to want to just yell or growl or do what you... When you get outside and the wind hits you and you're just like, ah!
Yep.
And in news, we've heard a bunch of people in the community say, why hath this God forsaken us?
Something. I'd go with the primal scream myself.
Okay,
but yeah,
you know.
I, I could totally get the sentiment of that. Let's see. From Rob in Tigerton, he says, good morning, and we get a full car care report here. It's snow shower, 21 degrees, another snow squall Wednesday. I hope it's over by 4 because I've got a Highway 45 public information meeting in New London at 5. Looks like we got the new cold weather advisory tomorrow, replacing the wind chill advisory. We got a dusting of snow, enough to make the roads slippery. I got my new battery for my truck, Old Beast. I had two batteries in Old Beast, which best explains why I went through so many alternators. I want to thank Todd for getting me batteries installed in my car and truck the last 2 weeks. Todd maintains the school buses for the Tigerton, Wittenberg, Burnham Woods school districts. So, Todd, Rob says thank you.
All right.
And we do, too, for taking good care of Rob for us.
And if, yes. While you're in New London, Rob, if you see my Uncle Charlie, tell him Greg says hi.
There you go. We're just like the message board. Remember the ride boards? You just put little cards up there saying, yeah, say hi to somebody. I could use a ride for this or that. All right, Brittany, stay bundled up, and we'll all suffer through it together tomorrow morning as well.
Sounds good. Stay warm.
All right. Thanks. Again, the keyword for the grown-up gift list is bells, as in jingle bells, B-E-L-L-S. Text that before the end of this hour for your chance to win in the grown-up gift list. Let's visit now with Up North News reporter Elizabeth Montemurro, who's been keeping busy with something that hasn't begun yet officially at the state capitol, but Governor Evers is getting it going, and we're talking about the next state budget and how to handle a budget surplus. Elizabeth, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Preemptively bundling up for the cold.
Preemptive bundling. I like that. Well, I guess then better that you were at the event last evening with Governor Evers than anything that might be going on tonight. This is not the first listening session that Governor Evers has had on whatever the next state budget's going to look like. He's already got this process well underway, doesn't he?
That's right, Pat. You know, I believe the listening sessions for the next budget that the governor is holding, or the listening sessions that the governor is holding, they had one in Appleton already, one in La Crosse. We were in Milwaukee last night, and he's headed to Ashland tomorrow. And then he will wrap up these listening sessions across the state with a virtual one on Monday, I believe. So there's still a chance to weigh in and let the governor know what you would like to see in this next state budget.
Yeah. And again, the virtual one might be the way to go, given the way the weather has been. But the one that you attended was at a new community hub in Milwaukee. Tell us a little bit more about that and what kind of crowd it drew.
Yeah, the event last night or the listening session was at Thrive on King. It's a new community center. It's on the edge of Harambe and Brewers Hill neighborhoods, right on MLK Drive. And this, it's just this beautiful new space. It's the old renovated Gimbel's shopping facility. And it has the Milwaukee Community Foundation in there. The Versity Blood Bank is in there. So they've got a lot of businesses, and eventually they'll be adding a mixed use housing in the facility as well. They've just done a beautiful job to renovate that space and bring the community together.
And how was the crowd there?
The crowd, I was quite shocked, Pat. It was absolutely packed. There was standing room only by the time they kicked off at 5:30. And how they held, or how they put together this little listening session, or what I thought was going to be little, the governor gave some opening remarks, and then we had breakout rooms, and there was some standing room only in those breakout rooms as well.
So in other words, you didn't just have to sit there and listen to, it wasn't like listening to a governor's budget address and just a laundry list. It had an interactive component.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, for the governor, let's hear about what he had to say about the fact that, you know, a budget is about taking care of Wisconsinites. And in this case, unlike past cycles, having a healthy surplus to do that with. Tell us a bit more. Lead us into what Governor Evers has to say here.
Yeah, you know, I think the biggest takeaway from the governor last night was that we have a $4 billion surplus, and we have the money that we need to help Wisconsin families not just get by, but get ahead. And he outlined, I guess, some ways that he would like to see that $4 billion surplus divvied up.
All right, let's give a listen.
There's one big difference this time. We don't have fair legislative maps. And I'm hopeful as ever that we'll see a legislature that's more cooperative, collaborative, and responsible to the will of the people of the state. But that is finally be able to move forward on some long-standing priorities that we have with, say, like expanding Badger Care, legalizing marijuana, protecting access to reproductive health, enacting common sense gun safety reform, moving forward with evidence-based justice reform, protecting our environment, creating green jobs, investing in our kids and schools at every level.
At every level. So for all the talk that we have about K-12 spending, obviously we'll talk about the University of Wisconsin system budget and other things as well. Of course, the legislature is still run by Republicans. Their majority isn't as big as it was prior to the new maps that the governor just mentioned there. But everything that the governor's listed, he's listed these things before. None of his budgets have been, easy for him to get some of his items passed by this legislature. This year's not going to be any different.
That's right. There was a bit of optimism, though, like the governor said, with the new legislative maps that will hopefully force the Republican-led legislature to negotiate a little bit more. But you're right, Pat. It's a little bit of a wait and see.
Yeah, kind of like Tony writes in from Ashland on YouTube here. Now we just have to convince Robin Voss how important education is. But that's tough to do. We played a soundbite from Speaker Voss a few days back that referred to State Superintendent Jill Underlie's budget ideas as, again, some kind of a large overspending on education, which, of course, is not the case at all. As I mentioned quite frequently, it was one thing 15 years ago when I was in the legislature dealing with a $4 billion shortfall. Now you have the funds to deal with these kinds of things. But you also have things like, we'll get to it after the break here, but we've got areas like the American Rescue Plan funds that are about to run out in some areas and what you could maybe do with that in the state budget. And we'll talk a bit more about, who was in the crowd for this, especially from an education standpoint. So a little bit more with Elizabeth Montemurro coming up right after the break. But first, just a real quick note that in sports, the Milwaukee Bucks were winners over Orlando in the NBA in-season tournament cup quarterfinal, 114-109. They will go to Las Vegas now for the Emirates Cup semifinals and possibly the finals. The semifinal match is Saturday against the winner of tonight's match between the New York Knicks and Atlanta. The finals would be next Tuesday. The Badger men's basketball team fell to Illinois last night, 86-80. This is Up North News Radio, live from Civic Media on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Say those one more time.
Okay. Voss Budget DOA. Voss Education Spending. Okay. Evers Budget DOA. Voss Work From Home. Evers Work From Home. Here we go.
Oh, boy.
Mona Lisa, Mona Lisa, men have named you. You're so like the lady with a mystic smile.
If you missed it earlier in today's history lesson, the Mona Lisa was found and returned to the Louvre this day in 1913, 2 years after it had been stolen. This is Up North News Radio for a Wednesday morning, December 11th. Elizabeth Montemurro, our Up North News reporter, is with us now as well. We've been talking about Governor Tony Evers holding a budget listening session in Milwaukee yesterday, and that, again, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has already made clear he's not really changed his behavior despite having a much smaller majority than he did under the gerrymandered maps. Here, for example, is Robin Voss, I believe, on WISN-TV's Up Front, talking about much of the budget being dead on arrival, saying all this, you know, 2 months before the governor's budget address.
The governor in his statement talking about the surplus looked to the next state budget, yeah. As I'm sure you saw. WisPolitics, our editorial partner, reports agencies requesting $2.1 billion in additional general purpose revenue in the first year of the new budget, $1.3 billion in the second. Revenue's obviously going up as well. In your mind, from what you have seen so far, what is dead on arrival?
We're not going to give $1 billion to the university. I can tell you that's probably not going to happen. I think it's unlikely that we're going to give Superintendent Underley's request for this massive increase in education spending when we just gave the largest increase in a generation like 18 months ago. So that is nothing but a political document from her.
We talked about this last week, Elizabeth, that for Voss to say that there's been this, you know, record amount of education spending when a lot of it wasn't. It was called education spending, but it actually went directly to property tax bills. Not that there's anything wrong with property tax relief, but it's wrong to say it's school spending if the schools can't spend a dime of it. And the governor had a lot of support in the crowd from teachers themselves yesterday, right?
That's right. You know, I'll say at the listening session, there were 6 breakout rooms. So individuals that attended could go and pick which topic they wanted to weigh in on. There were members of governor's staff and other policy experts in the room to hear from people and have them weigh in. And the education room was so big, they had to split into 2. And there was still people standing with them splitting those rooms into 2. And so education is a big topic and something that people are really paying attention to. And there was a contingent of MPS teachers in the room that several spoke to the need to increase funding for education. You know, they're like, hey, we're seeing the increased support, but it's still not enough because they just don't have the resources. Specifically, heard from several teachers that our special ed teachers and are feeling the effects of charter schools getting additional funding for that special education reimbursement rate, and the public schools are not seeing as much money. And I know that's something that Jill Underley has put in her budget proposal, but the teachers are really wanted to weigh in on that.
Yes, and they are very right to be upset that that voucher schools get about 90% reimbursement for their special education funding, and public schools only get a little more than 30% reimbursement for their special education costs. Let me skip ahead on some of the audio here, because Robin Voss mentioned that he thinks a lot of Evers' budget will be dead on arrival. Here's the governor responding to the notion of some of his proposals being DOA at the Capitol.
Speaker Voss told us the UW funding is dead on arrival in his words.
Yeah, so was shared revenue last time, and we got through that. I mean, he can talk all he wants, but he, you know what? He ain't governor, and he's not in charge of the Senate. He's in charge of the Assembly. The Assembly looks a lot different than it did last time around. So I take his comments as it's the way he works.
Look at Tony and Ashland on YouTube, off the top rope, going, Voss ain't the governor. And there's the governor saying it as well. There has also been a new, I don't want to say an issue, because I think that Republicans are manufacturing something here about state employees working from home, and that they might require in the next state budget bill that all state employees return to the office. Governor Evers says, you know, he's not going to go for that. And we can talk about the reasons why, but let's first hear from Speaker Voss on the notion of requiring everybody to come back to an office, whatever their working conditions currently.
When Wisconsin enacted that budget, we had the largest increase in education spending in literally a generation since 2004, 2005. So we, I think we need to look and say,
sorry, wrong one. There you go.
To keep Wisconsin competitive, in my mind, that's by making sure we have people who are working for the state of Wisconsin. We still have far too many employees that are working from home. We had that audit that came out over the summer. I think it was some employees hadn't been in the office in months and months.
State employees.
State employees. That's really an embarrassment. So, number one, we need to make sure people are actually doing their job.
You want to force them back into the office?
I would love to be able to say people have to be back in the office at least 3 or 4 days a week. I mean, we saw Amazon, which was 3 days a week, just announced by January 1st, 100% of people are going to be back in the office. I think we need to look at how state government functions, and one of the reasons that we have not had the services we want to deliver is because a lot of employees aren't working, or they're working only from home and not doing it very well with little supervision. So I would love for us to be able to say, hey, if we're going to be giving more money to agencies, we need to make sure we're actually performing.
No, I again would contend that the embarrassment is that Speaker Voss is taking a 9-month paid vacation from the legislature doing any legislating. Governor Evers responded to the notion of requiring all state employees to be back in the office.
He also told us the other day that he wants to introduce, as part of the budget, language that would require state employees to return to the office 3 to 4 days a week. Would you sign the budget if that was included?
No. It's working. We're working. You know, we've heard for years the idea that somehow it's not fair that, so many of the people that work for the state of Wisconsin come from the Madison-Milwaukee area. Well, we went out of our way when we during the pandemic and post-pandemic to hire people in Rhinelander and all sorts of different places in the state because we knew they could work from home or work from an office that's remote from Madison. That's working. And, I think it's important for us to say we want to get the best people working for the state of Wisconsin possible. And sometimes that will mean that they will work from home, part-time, full-time. We can work that out. It's working fine now. I know he's got all this data, and I can't wait to see it.
Much more to come on all of these state budget matters once the legislative session gets started. Elizabeth Montemurro, thank you so much. Have a great day. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, you too.
When we come back, we'll talk to Dan.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Time for our Wednesday homeroom segment, talking about public education, the opportunities and the obstacles along the way. Here's an opportunity for you. Your local school board needs you. Needs you more than ever, given the political environment out there. Every school board benefits when it has some of your hometown's best advocates there, advocating on behalf of the education of our kids, not some other political ideology. Doesn't mean everybody on a school board has to march in lockstep, but should be, shall we say, a bit more service-oriented and education-oriented. And so we thought, well, where can we learn more about the qualities of a good school board candidate and also how to run for school board or help somebody else run for school board? And we found somebody who kind of literally wrote the book on being a school board candidate along with other colleagues and advocates through the Wisconsin Association of School Boards. And from the Wisconsin Association of School Boards, joining us now is Daniel Rossmiller, the executive director for WASB. Daniel, thank you so much for being here. Nice to see you.
Thank you for having me, Pat. I'm delighted to be on your program.
Well, we're, again, thrilled to have you here and thrilled that somebody has done, again, those of us who've run for office and those who have either thought about it or had a friend who does would always love to have a resource as the type that you've written up over at WASB, the Guide for Candidates 2025 Spring Election Edition. Can you tell us kind of what prompted the need for a resource like this? What was essentially the mission statement in putting this kind of a document together?
Well, school boards function best when they represent local communities and have as wide a representation as possible. In past years, it has sometimes been difficult or challenging to find candidates to run for the school board. And so we put this together in hopes that it would encourage people who may be thinking about running, but don't know much about the how-to of actually putting together a campaign for school board.
And so you, in doing that, again, we'll talk about some of the resources involved in it in just a moment here, but I was especially taken that, you know, right near the top after the welcomes, before we get into the X's and O's, it's all about the qualities of a school board member. And again, you know, and anybody, you know, who can run for office can run for school board, but to be one that is particularly, you know, useful and service oriented should have certain qualities. Can you talk a bit about those qualities that you outline in the manual?
Yeah, I think the main quality is to care about our young people and to put student achievement and student learning at the center of their focus. Historically, school board offices are nonpartisan, which means that candidates do not run as a member of a political party. Just a second here. I lost your place
on there.
No, I had another window open up on my computer. I apologize for that.
I have that happen all the time. No worries.
Yep. So the focus should be on high character, high quality individuals who will put the interests of all children and all families ahead of whatever other things may motivate them. We want people who are community minded and who are willing to work together. The power of the school board is not in the individual members of the school board, although their ability to function with others is critical. School boards really only have powers when they meet in together in a duly noticed meeting and take up items that are on the agenda and operate by a majority vote of a quorum that's present. So the school board is a corporate body. The individual members of the school board do not have the full powers of the powers of the full school board. It's really the acting together that school board members can make a difference.
It's kind of essentially being, you know, we always talk in corporate America about, you know, being mission driven rather than margin driven, you know, operating just for profits and shareholder prices. And there is a lot to be said about being good stewards of tax dollars, but to be truly mission driven gets what you just said about working together to advance the best interests of the school district and the education going in there. Do you feel like that is something that enough candidates keep in mind, or is it something that's worth repeating to candidates about focusing more on the mission than, you know, just the dollars and cents of any given budget?
Well, I think that being careful stewards of the resources that schools are provided with by the public is important. School boards occupy a unique space and have a unique function in our society. They represent the interests of the taxpayers, certainly, but they also represent the interests of the students, most of whom are not 18 years of age, and most of them don't have a voice in elections. So the school boards wear a number of hats in terms of representing both the community, the values and interests and priorities of the community, the students, making sure that they have the best education possible and can maximize their potential, and then representing accountability from the standpoint of determining what the values, what the priorities, what the goals of the school district are, and then leaving the how to accomplish that to the administration, but providing careful oversight.
There are in the guide that you can find at the WASB website, which is wasb.org for Wisconsin Association of School Boards.org. There are notes about the legal qualifications for being a board member. There are also potential conflicts of interest to consider. That might be private interest in public contracts. There's a code of ethics, the incompatibility to be in office, be able to invest the time. But assuming that you get through that page, and again, you see that this is something that you're qualified to do and want to do, then we get to the election procedures for the office of a school board member. And so to put it in plain English, Dan, if somebody is thinking about running for school board yet this coming April, it's not too late, but you need to get going on some stuff right now. What should a potential candidate be doing right now?
I think the first thing that they should do is contact their school district, find out what the specific requirements are in their district. We have several different types of school districts in the state. We have, they're organized a little bit differently. So to find out what is necessary, for example, whether nomination papers are necessary, contact the school district office, contact the administrator of the district, and their administrative assistant will be involved in that, will have the information that's available. There is a filing deadline coming up. It's always the first Tuesday in January, and this year that falls on January 7th. So to run for a school board, an interested candidate will need to file a declaration of candidacy. That is a document that has to be notarized. So there's that extra consideration. They also have to file a campaign registration statement, which is related to campaign finances, which are tracked reports have to be filed. And then in some districts, there is a requirement that candidates file nomination papers as a means of assuring that they have support within the community for their candidacy. And those papers all have to be filed by 5 p.m. on Tuesday, January 7th.
And we should note that school board races were once fairly quiet affairs, but that in some districts we've certainly seen in some of our cities that these races are attracting outside interest, outside groups, potentially outside spending. And so that is the reason why that these forms are necessary to, again, make sure people understand the rules that come with fundraising, that they abide by ethics rules. And that while that may sound daunting, it's simply the rules of the road. And for folks that aren't necessarily looking to run million-dollar campaigns, God, I hope that's all of them, these are not undue burdens that have to be done by January 7th. Now, in any given seat, what is the rule on whether there needs to be a primary election in February versus just the general election on April 1st?
Well, this gets a little complicated, but in general, school board members are elected from the district as a whole. So in other words, everyone who is an elector of the district has the opportunity to vote for school board. In certain districts, particularly those where a consolidation has occurred, very often you'll have geographically apportioned seats where the person running will have to reside within a particular geographic area. But again, all of the electors of the district will vote for that person. There are a limited number of districts. Madison is one of them, where candidates run for numbered seats so that they run against whoever is either the incumbent or who has filed to run in that particular numbered seat, whether it's 1, 2, 3, 4, etc. So that's something you'll want to check with the administrative assistant in your district office. They should also be able to provide you with a copy of this document you referred to, the guide for candidates. It's something that's downloadable from our website, but I believe you probably the best way to find it is by talking to the administrative assistant in your school district administrator's office.
Yeah, and again, you can also see it for WASB.org. WASB.org has that listed there as well. And so when you talk about the responsibilities, and we've covered some of them, but it's just, again, to make sure that folks understand there's a school board member wears a lot of hats. There's student achievement. There's making policy for the district. There's responsibility for the budget. There's communicating with the public. There's advocacy. But in all of your experience, Dan, through the Wisconsin Association of School Boards, tell me more about the first time school board members that you've encountered. And I'm wondering if the main story arc here is that folks get there, it seems rather daunting, but the whole reason people sometimes serve, you know, second and third terms is the satisfaction that they get out of it once they learn, you know, more about the exact role and the importance that they play in their school district. Is that your experience?
Yeah, very much so. We hold what we call new board member gatherings every spring, typically the third week in April. After the April election, which this year will be on April 1st, no joke, school board members are sworn in on the fourth Monday of the month. So we hold new board member gatherings in each of the 15 regions we've designated in the state. And at those meetings, we allow the newly elected board members to introduce themselves. And I found that almost without exception, they run because they care about student learning and put students at the focus of their attention. These are evening meetings. We go through all of the basic things that school board members need to know to be effective from day one in their positions. There's time for question and answer. We invite veteran school board members and superintendents to come along with them. Very often a board president will bring their board members to that meeting, and we have a good conversation about being on the school board. We talk about the open meetings law. We talk about the public records law. We talk about how things get done, how things get on the agenda for school board meetings. So it's a very comprehensive meeting and curriculum. In addition, a lot of school districts will have their own onboarding process. I would encourage anyone interested in running for school board to take the opportunity to attend school board meetings or watch the meetings. Very often they're streamed live over the internet, or perhaps a local public access cable will have them on the air. Get to know, you know, a little bit about that. If you do get elected, talk to the district administrator, get a preview of what kinds of things are on the agenda.
Yeah, just no shortage of resources for the nearly 2,800 school board members who make decisions affecting more than 800,000 Wisconsin children enrolled in some 421 public school districts. And Dan Rossmiller has been an immense resource for all of this in running for office. Dan, thank you so much. We appreciate the visit.
Thank you very much, Pat.
All right, you have a great day. And when we come back, we'll talk to Todd Alba from The Todd Alba Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Well, we've moved on now from Charlie Brown Christmas to John Denver and the Muppets. Basically, the only two Christmas albums I'll listen to every season, all season long. The keyword again for the grown-up gift list contest is bells. You have until the end of the hour to text the word bells. Tony and Ashlyn puts it on YouTube appropriately. Hell's bells, it's nippy out. So if that helps you remember to text us bells in the next 7 minutes, then Tony has done his job. Todd Alba's here to do a job every weekday from noon to 2 across the Civ Media Radio Network. Mr. Alba, how are you?
It is chilly out. It's chilly here in Madison as well, but I'm doing well. How about you?
Cold and about to be even colder. Got to go out and run some errands here and say bad words, followed by why didn't I think to do these errands yesterday when it was a little nicer outside. But it's winter. It's what we do. We do things and then we complain about them, Mr. Bach.
I did the most adult of errands yesterday. I went to the DMV and got my license renewed, and it was a fantastic experience.
Just waiting for the sarcasm bell or something here. You're serious.
Really? Had I not forgotten my reading glasses in the car and filled out the wrong form first, that would have been a total of 12 to 15 minutes in the DMV. Everyone I dealt with was wonderful. Helpful, polite, got me in, got me out. Visit your local DMV, folks. It's better. It's better than you ever thought. That's all.
Sponsored
by
Tony Evers, 2026. He fixed the damn DMV. So there you go.
Well, shout out to all those folks. Yeah, they do great work.
Yeah. Yes, they do. Oh, God, do they ever. I mean, I do. I've met some extremely nice people there, and I go, why did we tell jokes about this place? And I'm sure there's some bad apples everywhere, except Civic Media. There are no bad apples there. Nah, not at all.
What bushel basket are you looking at?
Oh, man.
Because I'm generally the bad apple. Yeah.
Oh, what? No, you're Todd Alba.
Stop it. Do you do a lot of holiday prep? Do you do like Christmas cards and a whole lot of decorating? Or
here's what I do. Thank you so very much for asking. I buy Christmas cards, and then ultimately, as I do cleaning throughout the year, I find the box of Christmas cards that were really cool that I bought, but I never sent.
Yep.
So I have all kinds of cards here at my place, but life gets in the way, and then, you know, the road to hell paved with good intentions.
I got a nice text message last night from a friend that I haven't seen in maybe almost 20 years now, saying, got your Christmas card. You guys look great. One of these years, we will finally get around to sending Christmas cards. And it's true. I've known this friend since college. And, you know, I knew them since college. And, yeah, they haven't sent Christmas cards in 10 years or more since they became empty since they became empty nesters.
Yeah.
But I appreciated, you know, the text as a way of saying, hey, even though we're not sending them, we still like hearing from you. And I get that's the through line on Christmas cards, is they don't have to be the best. They don't have to be the fanciest. You know, they don't have to be expensive. It's just that little throwing the bottle out into the ocean with a message saying, hey, I'm thinking of you. I'm fine. I hope you're having a good holiday season, too. And it's
I agree. And that was go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it's a lot of work, but it's worth it.
Yeah,
I couldn't agree more. And that's one of the goals for when I started our show was to send thank you notes, handwritten thank you notes to all the guests. That lasted about a month and a half.
Oh,
and
wow. Then,
I've got an example here somewhere.
But again, at the office, they have all kinds of thank you notes. And good intentions.
I do too. I don't even have them at somewhere in this desk is a stack of Up North News cards for handwritten notes.
Right. Yep.
And they're still in that drawer because I've scratched out one or two, and I get so disgusted with my chicken scratching that I don't bother doing more in it. And yet I know other people are like thank you note birthday card factories. And right. I so wish I could be more like those folks.
100%. I'm going to try to do better in 20. I don't do many resolutions, but I'll just say that's a goal for 2025.
No, I think that's a very nice one to have. I think it's very admirable that we all look for ways to stay in touch because, again, we're so electronic now.
Yes.
And it's nothing but comment sections and everything else. Any personal touch at all makes more of an impact now than I think ever before. Given what we're living in these days.
I got a handwritten Christmas card. I had to smoke a cigarette after. So I don't even smoke. So, I mean, that's how satisfying it was for me.
Okay, apparently. we'll post Todd's mailing address somewhere in the show notes. Todd needs your cards. So Todd Alba needs a friend.
They're grown-up gifts, you understand. That's that's what the key is here. Grown-up gifts.
Speaking of grown-up gifts.
that was your cue. There you go.
Pat?
What's the word of the hour, Patrick?
Bells.
There it is. Okay, great. We did
bells,
it.
Bells. Hell's bells.
Sorry.
Text it in now. Pat Kreitlow needs to do well.
I am
contest.
So you know they put out a chart every day of these contests of how many texts people are sending in, and basically every other host has said, "Could we stop doing that?" Because Todd Alba is running laps around everybody else. And
he always does this. I don't know. I don't know why.
I don't know why so many people respond. And then somebody gave away the secret. You spend an entire segment on the contest. Like, because you'll do 9 minutes.
because I don't have to prep for anything else.
Well, there's that. And nobody wants to hear more bad news out there. They want to hear you saying it's a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Come win some gifts. Text Bells in, and it makes people happy. And you're going to have a keyword later today.
I will. I can't. I'm not allowed to give it out. But
what time? What time? Which hour?
1 o'clock. Right after o'clock Pat, hour. Pat comes on at noon to fluff the show, and then the real action starts at 1 o'clock.
All right, this is really a good time to transition.
And Matt Naranjer has one at 11 o'clock too. That's all I'm gonna say.
Matt Naranjer has one as well. Because everybody have a wonderful day. Todd's gonna talk till noon. We'll see you at 6 a.m. tomorrow up north.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.